How's it going? Welcome to another episode of The Conways, episode 101, 101 Dalmatians.
101.
What do you think of that?
Episode 101.
101 Dalmatians.
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
That is a good one.
Mairead.
How are you?
You're a matchmaker.
Happy Valentine's Week.
Happy Valentine's Week.
I know. Matchmaker, spreading love all over this beautiful country of ours, although it's very rainy today.
You've been spreading loads of love of recent, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been matchmaking since 2016. I've matched close to 12,000 people all over Ireland of all age groups.
How many?
Almost 12,000.
Wow.
I had a consultation this morning with an 86-year-old man who was married for years. His partner unfortunately passed away 5 years ago, and he would now like to meet another man.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I'm telling you. And he, do you know what the saddest
Something
part
different.
Is?
Something different.
Saddest part is he has children and none of them know that he's gay.
Oh, and he's 86.
86. But I just love it. So this is the thing. There's no rules with love.
Yeah.
There's no boundaries. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're looking for love, give us a shout.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Aww. And is it a company that you're running?
Yes, yeah, so basically it's called Love HQ.
Yeah.
What happens is everybody comes to me for a consultation. I get to know them, the type of person they'd like to meet, and then anything else that I feel might help me to match them. So I try to meet everybody in person. So I travel around Dublin, Galway, Cork, Limerick, Kilkenny, Mullingar and Naas every month, each of those locations every single month. And then from there, if I feel that I have suitable matches for them, they're invited to join our matchmaking service. And then I match them on a number of dates and we arrange the dates. We follow up with them after each of the dates. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm very clear on, I can't help everyone. You will only be invited to join after
some
consultation.
There's some people who just have no hope.
It's not even that, it's just that I might not have what they're looking for.
I was very fortunate to meet Amy, so if I was to go with you,
in fairness, you're doing very well here, so you are, you know.
I'd have no hope.
Do you know what though? All ladies ask for a guy with a good sense of humour, so
and
you know what?
I've got good looks.
Good looks, tall, dark, handsome.
Very handsome.
This is it.
Crazy.
You're doing well for yourself, are you, Amy?
Yeah, I'm doing very well for myself.
Amy's punching. People normally say, I'm punching.
No, but like I'd say it's like interesting, you know, to me, different type of people. And like that this morning, 86, his wife passed away and now he wants to meet a man. Yeah. I'd say you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, you literally are. Like, I was not really expecting that
anything,
now this morning.
Yeah.
You know Tommy Tiernan's show and someone sits down in front of him. He has no idea. Now, I do get them to fill out an online form in advance of the consultation. So I throw my eyes over it.
Just in case they're a bit mad.
That's it. In fairness, it does happen from time to time. Rarely, but it does happen. But, you know, I just throw my eye over it. But like that, like I could have a teacher now. I could have a cardiothoracic surgeon next. I could have a high court judge next. I just never know who's going to walk in. And then,
did you ever have a celebrity?
I have had some celebrities.
Really?
I've had politicians.
Really?
I've had
undisclosed that you can't probably say.
No, definitely not. See the whole
is there any kind of hint? Fianna Fáil?
No, I can't.
Jim Payne.
And you know what the funny thing is then? Because then I'm just like, you know, how important is it? Like they're on the same side and everything like that, you know?
Yeah. That's interesting.
It is interesting. I'd say I'd like to do that now myself.
What do you mean you'd like to do it?
No, I'd love to match people now, but I wouldn't have a clue.
I thought you want to sign up to it.
Have you had people where you couldn't find anybody for them?
Yeah,
like, you know,
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be very honest, like, you don't have someone for everybody. If any matchmaker says, and there are matchmakers out there that take on absolutely everybody.
Yeah.
And then I feel like they're only ticking a box to match people.
Mm.
I think it's unfair because people are coming to you with their heart.
Yeah.
And so it's not just a case of, they're paying money. And it is professional service, so there is professional fees with it. Oh. But it's not a case they're just paying money. Like, they are coming with their heart. Like, I get a lot of people that are widowed as well. Mm. And like, they had the love of their life and they've passed away. And so, like, it takes a huge amount of effort for them to come, you know?
It can be hard to find someone though, like.
It is nowadays.
Oh, it's so hard to find someone.
It is.
Like, I was on a radio show there yesterday and they were asking me about work romances. And I was like, if you find love, prioritise love, you can always find another job. You'll have another job in 2 or 3 weeks, you know? Now, obviously, go easy on the Christmas parties and everything like that.
Money comes and goes.
But money comes and goes. But I'm telling you one thing, there's nothing more special than you meet your person.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, don't waste opportunities. I would prioritize finding love. Here we are. But I would prioritize finding love over my job. And I even remember when I was single as a matchmaker, like somebody said to me one day, like, what would you do if, you know, you met someone? Now, I didn't meet him through, and I actually never went on a date with any of my clients. So that's always good. But, you know, I just thought to myself at one stage, well, which is more important? My whole business that I spent years building or me finding love? And that's how much I believe in love.
Really?
Yeah.
I would. Yeah, I kind of would be the same. Like, I'd give up and like, if I, like, you know.
Would you give up your dogs?
No. Well, no, I wouldn't. No, I don't have, no.
So you pick the dogs
up? Yeah, but no, but like, you could bring the dogs with you, like, you know.
No, but you have to pick, though.
No, but like, even like dating apps and stuff like that, I'd say, like, God knows who you're going to meet. You know what I mean? And like.
You don't know. Yeah. And can I just say, if you were single, right, versus people in a relationship, people in a relationship have no idea the effort, the energy, the heartache, the regular rejection that there is out there dating. If you, you know, if you're online dating, you could be chatting away to someone for a week or two, you're building up a bit of rapport, you're thinking, do you know what, this guy sounds pretty good, or this girl sounds pretty good, she's ticking a lot of the boxes, she sounds normal, first of all. She seems to have a good job, she likes to go on holidays, bit of crack to her, she looks good, all of this. So you're kind of thinking to yourself, yeah, brilliant, we'll do this. And then you meet them and like, well, first of all, you could wake up the morning of the date and they've completely unmatched you, they've blocked you completely.
What's that all about?
Well, that's
some people are just like
People. Just some people are just not nice people. Like, that's a horrible thing to do
so
to somebody.
So it's leading someone on.
Yeah, it is. Like, ghost them. Just like literally disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Other it's easier to like put someone on the scene, isn't it? Like
it
if
is.
You say, what's up with you and me? And then they just like give you the scene. They're like, ah.
But like then again as well.
You're leading someone on.
But you could go out to these people and they could be like murderers or something. Do you ever hear them Tinder stories?
Like, what are you talking about?
Like,
there,
you know,
what's going on there, Amy?
No, you know, you go out to people like and off Tinder, like,
you talk about documentaries, you'd see like the Tinder swindler,
stuff like that. Like, that's who you just don't know that you're meeting. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like,
you're meeting. Oh my God. Now, in saying that, like, you need to have a bit of cop on as well. Like,
you're
barring a Saturday night, you need to have a bit of cop on as well. Like, if they're telling you their Ferrari's parked outside and they're heading off to Dubai to their penthouse apartment tomorrow, and they're like,
in a text,
oh my God,
but if you're meeting them out even on a night out or if they're online dating and then you're like, if you're chatting away to them and they're, you know, not dressed great and everything's not adding up. You know, like there is people that have the Ferrari parked outside and have their penthouse apartment in Dubai. But like, you know, if it's not adding up, you know, just...
I know.
You have to be kind of clued in as well.
Yeah.
You also have to your boundaries. But the problem is, people that are single long term, they do get a little bit lonely.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And
you
believe it.
And so when you're dating with, like, from a place of loneliness, you have a situation where you're... You're going to make different decisions. You're like, you're thinking to yourself, do you know what? I'm happy enough now. Like, he seems to, he might tick 80% of the boxes. So you might just hang in there a little bit longer. You might ignore some of the red flags, you know? And that's hard. And you just need to sit down before you start dating and start thinking, right, okay, I'm going to, you know, just kind of go in with my eyes open.
Oh, God. Like, that's how, like, we even talking about. Does people still text each other saying, what's up? You know, like years ago, how do you even start nowadays?
The worst part is you could be talking to them for like 3 weeks and everything, and then they disappear off the face of the earth. And then it's actually called zombieing. They literally rise from the dead again, basically.
Out of nowhere.
And like literally 3 weeks later, 11 o'clock on a Saturday night, what are you up to?
Oh, no. But like, that's a red flag.
People will be like texting the masses.
Yeah.
And they go up on that page then.
Oh, my God. Oh, do you ever see the page?
Yeah.
Are we dating the same guy?
Page.
Yeah, well, what's it called? What's it called? Are we dating the same guy?
Yeah, yeah.
I was actually asked about that earlier as well.
Oh my God.
I'm not for that now.
Yeah.
The amount of people that put it up, like, you know, privately, they hide their username, but, like, they're doing it purposely for the man to be slated.
That's it. Oh, absolutely.
You know, and, like, some of the comments, oh my God, it's absolutely
also
shocking.
Like, bitter people then sticking up their ex. Because they're after moving on to a new relationship.
Yeah, it's
that's
toxic,
horrible
yeah.
stuff like that. Or, you know, I've seen a few comments going up there and it's like, picture this lad, just match them, but before I even start a conversation, is there any tea on this guy? And
it's
like this guy could be
like,
a big enough job, you know, or anything like that. Yeah. Or
and then anybody that's saying that and like personal things that happen between him and somebody else that is plastered on Facebook.
And
like,
that's
for people
it. And
to
it could
see,
be
like,
third hand, so it might not be accurate.
Yeah.
And the problem then as well with any of those social media posts, it's really hard to get down those comments.
No, yeah, it's really hard.
No, it really is.
So even the post itself.
I suppose
like,
that's why a lot of people come
like trying to get through to your bank.
It's so precise.
Like trying to get through to the bank.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's
never answer.
It's so bad. Like, yeah.
So
the page.
No, the page. It is hard. You just, like, that's why a lot of people come to me for matchmaking. Yeah. Is it is 100% confidential, hence why I can't tell you the celebs and the politicians.
Oh, yeah.
No, we'll talk about that after.
Yeah, we will.
We'll have a cup of coffee. Spill the tea.
But I know, it's fully confidential. Yeah. And I get a photograph of everybody's driver's license or passport. So yeah. Everybody is who they say they are. And I also meet them in person. So I also get the vibe off them. You know, it's not like they're...
Did you ever get the vibe off someone and they're just like, I can't do anything for you?
But I've gotten the vibe off someone and I've thought to myself, I don't know if they would enhance someone's life. Yeah. That maybe they talked really, really bad about their ex, or they were telling me something nasty they had done to a previous partner, or nasty they had done.
Yeah.
And I just think to myself,
avoid it.
Just good morals, you know. People are vulnerable enough out there. People are doing their best. There's just, you have to be, you do have a duty of care as a matchmaker. I don't think anybody has ever been vulnerable coming to me. But I would say that there are people that, as I said, are maybe a little bit lonely, or, you know, might just have been out of a relationship that they weren't with the kindest of people, or they could be widowed, or, you know, something like that. I also get people then the odd time that might have just something just a little bit off with them, you know, or just socially
too
unaware
eager
or something like that. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
you know,
it.
Yeah. Have you ever had anybody that you were dealing with that would be obsessed with you then?
That's some
question.
Yeah, but like, you know what I mean? Some people are...
Do you have that one in the back pocket? Is that in the back pocket?
No, but like, you know yourself. It does.
Yeah, look, in fairness, I've been asked out a lot more often than the average person.
Yeah.
The thing is, there's a thing called limerence, and just by being really nice to somebody and being understanding, sometimes people can misconstrue it.
You can attach to you or something.
Or they can think, oh, she actually fancies me. Yeah. Like, you know, that's first of all, I would say guys think that I fancy them almost just because I was being nice to them. And then I've also had, guys like asking me out and stuff like that. But like, to the point, actually, before I met my partner, I used to wear a fake engagement ring.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to.
Really?
Had to, yeah, like back in the day. It wasn't in any badness or anything like that. It was just more to stop the awkward question. Yeah. And it was big enough that everybody saw it, so that was it. So then when I was actually getting engaged, he was like, you know, what sort of ring do you want? And I was like, well, it's going to have to kind of match the standard that I used to wear. So it was crap.
Couple of grand there.
Oh, stop.
Have you, like, ever... Like, the people you match, have any of them went on to get married?
Oh, yeah.
Loads.
Oh, like hundreds.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, and babies. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And, like, that's my favourite part.
Oh.
Like, just before Christmas is actually my favourite time of year, not Valentine's Day. And the reason being is, I suppose, at the end of the year, a lot of people are sending in messages going, hi, Mairead, happy Christmas. Just want to update you. We got married there a couple of weeks ago. I got a load of wedding invitations, actually. Or we just had our baby. Like, there's nothing nice like coming into the office on a random, like, Tuesday morning and there's, like, a little picture of a little baby there.
Oh, that's... And you made that happen.
That's
like,
exactly.
You know,
like, there is a bit of magic to that.
Yeah.
There is. And there's huge job satisfaction to it.
Oh, that's so nice.
And, like, it's just, there's, like, what greater job in the world is there than helping people find love?
Did you get into it?
First of all, I worked
probably
in
should
finance
have asked that at the start.
No, that's all right. I worked in finance for years, and of course, then the downturn happened, and it was just mental. Then I went into doing event management, and I was managing a number of different companies. They were international companies, and realistically, I just thought to myself, I'm making this lad that owns this company a lot of money, and he was younger than I was, and I was like 31, 32 at this stage. And I actually was just like, right, here it goes. And a lot of my friends at that stage just started getting married, people that I'd matched.
Yeah.
And so I was like, do you know what now? We'll have a look at this. So I started into it just doing the regular matchmaking. And then I decided I was going to do some dating events. So I set up these dating events called A Table for Six. Mm-hmm. And I used to send three single ladies and three single men on group dinner dates all over Ireland. And I mean, I launched that on the May bank holiday weekend. And by the August bank holiday weekend, 3 months later, I was on Miriam O'Callaghan's live Saturday night chat show. Like, that's honestly, cool. I was like, I'd never even done a radio interview before that.
Oh,
and I had 8,000 people on my waiting list in 3 months.
Stop.
It just went absolutely mental.
Oh,
like,
I love
it was
that.
And not only was there loads of people finding love, there was loads of like girls meeting great friends and guys like having bromances. They were like, oh, men you mate, like all my mates are married, so and stuff like
that's
that.
Brilliant.
But then of course COVID happened, but I'd always been doing the matchmaking, but just like during COVID it just absolutely went mental altogether. Last month, as I was saying to you earlier, like last month, January was the biggest month that we've ever had at Love HQ. Like, I mean, 2.5 times the amount of people contacted us for matchmaking in January than January last year.
Wow.
So that is unreal. Yeah. So everybody's looking for love.
Everybody's looking for love. And it is, it's lovely because they are looking for love. They're not looking for, you know, anything casual. They're not looking for a fling. They are looking for love.
They want something like, they want to start a life, their family, their everything. Like, like nowadays, how do you meet somebody though? You know what I mean? It's like, you don't just meet people in the pub anymore. Like,
that doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen as often as it used to happen. Yeah. You know, it's through social media, but like that, you don't know. You just don't know.
You don't know. Or not. Like, if you think about it, Tinder's only around 11 years. It was the 10-year anniversary last year. I know just before that, like, I'm from Mullingar. There was 3 nightclubs in Mullingar. They were open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You knew which one to go to and what night and what was the best place to go. And, like, that's how you met your people. Like, I would say 8% of my age group met in one of the nightclubs in Mullingar.
They all know
all over the country, especially down the country.
Yeah.
You would meet people in all the different nightclubs. A lot of those nightclubs are closed now. Like, people are way more health conscious. They're not going out binge drinking or anything like that.
They're all doing the high rocks.
They're all doing the high rocks and everything like that. And, like, unless you're mad into the high rocks, you're not going to be meeting anybody else. Like, but the problem is, if you go to a high rocks class and you are single and you meet someone else that's single, are you going to ask them out? A lot of people don't have the confidence to do that.
I wouldn't have the bottle.
Would you not?
No.
How did you two meet?
At a party.
Yeah, true friends.
And what age were you?
I was...
Amy was
22.
And I was 25.
Yeah. And, like, that was, like, yeah, that was random, wasn't it?
It's like nearly 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Because,
like,
you're
so lucky.
Yeah.
But, like, there's your sliding door moment. Imagine had you not spoken to each other.
That's
Swapped over telephone numbers. Yeah. Imagine if you're like, oh my God, was I a little bit too tipsy last night? Can I contact them and everything?
Yeah.
Like, it just shows the chances. But the amount of people then that miss those opportunities because they haven't thought about what they do in that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could have said, I'm just going to stay in.
Yeah.
Or I'm not going there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. Like, it's just. Yeah. It's just such a simple thing. There's a lot of people out there, like, they're not, I suppose, using those opportunities. So, like, if there is anybody single listening to this, like, what are you going to do if you meet someone out there? You're not going to walk up to someone and start chatting to them, like, do you want to go on a date with me? Like, we're Irish. Are you joking me? We'd rather die first than have someone out there or flirt with them. Oh, my God. So, what I'd suggest is just even saying to them, chatting away for the minute, say, oh, you're a great crack. We should grab a coffee sometime.
Yeah.
Just slide it in.
Nice and easy.
What's the odds on a woman or a man or vice versa, like, of just saying, yeah, I'll go with you. Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll do
You'd
that.
You'd be surprised because I think
50-50, yes, is it? It's a confidence thing, isn't it, as well? Yeah, that attracts me.
Like, if you're a guy now, good sense of humour. Okay, so like, you know, if you can get her laughing at all, you have a much higher chance. And then guys are a little bit more visual, hence why Tinder exists and everything. But like that, dress the very best you can, be the best crack you can be. I would say women, try and be as feminine as you can be. And men, I would say, be as masculine as you can. If you're looking for a straight relationship, but like, we have gay relationships as well, gay matchmaking, like, basically everybody's welcome, you know, like, love is love.
I love giving love and being loved.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, would you match us?
Of course I would.
Would you?
I think so. I think you're nicely matched. I think you're a good crack.
Do we suit each other? Like,
definitely.
Yeah.
100% I have to say that. What sort of matchmaker would say no to you? Yeah. No, but definitely I'd say you would. I'd say you'd like have similar lifestyles, compatibility, all of those things.
Yeah.
You know, I think,
like, everything we do is very similar. Like, it's kind of weird, like, to the point that it's like,
you
really
merge into the same person, don't you?
You do, though. But I found when I met my partner, I felt more myself after I met him than before I met him. I can't explain what that actually means.
I know what that means.
Do you? Yeah.
Like, I can't, I know where you're getting at. I know what you're getting
at. Yeah. I, like, felt more comfortable in it. Like, and I dated people before, and like, and that's how you know if you're with the right person or not. And I felt like I couldn't be myself.
Yeah.
I couldn't be unapologetically myself around them. And like, obviously you need to show up as your best person. You know, you can't be like dragging out to people or like biting the head off them or anything like that. But definitely as soon as I met him, I just felt,
you just knew.
I just feel so myself. I feel so,
you just feel like a different person isn't it? Like, it's like a shift that you're like, you look back on your old self and you're kind of like, why did I do that? Or when, like,
but it's like, how did I go so long without knowing you? You know what I mean? It's like, how did I never meet you?
Yeah. Meet him sooner. Yeah.
I know. It's like,
look at Jill's having a moment.
Like, do you know what I mean? It just makes you think, you're like, everything that you've gone through, though, and the people that you've met them for a lesson to meet
Definitely.
The person that you're with now to make, give you that thicker skin to be like, do you know, kind of feel each other in a sense, like to feel like,
feel each other.
No, but like to feel more comfortable with each other, like, you know what I mean? But other people, then you kind of, you know, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's a kind of learning experience. Yeah. But like, if there is anyone out there single, I would say, like, just be unapologetically yourself, right? Yeah. Now, obviously the best version of yourself, but like, kind of think to yourself, what am I looking for? Who am I? What's okay? What's not okay? And then, like, straight up, we see a lot of women especially are conditioned by Cosmopolitan magazine. Whatever you do, don't tell a fellow that you want to have a baby or get married because he'll run a mile.
Yeah.
But the right person hears you differently. So, like, if you are on a date with someone and they're in the same place in their life, like, guys come to me and, like, we talk about women and their biological clock coming to 50 sorry coming to 40 she's 50 but coming to 40 but a lot of the guys coming to me, they've just moved home from like Australia, Canada, the UK or whatever. They've just bought a house, they've just gotten a promotion, they've just sold their business, those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And so they're ready and they're just like, yeah, can you find me someone? And like, they're nearly more, let's do it, a lot of women.
Yeah.
So like, you need to be able to say, like, I actually would like to get married and have a family in the next 3 or 4 years. Because you need to know if that person is like no interest in having kids and like you've scared them off, they're now great.
I was afraid to move out of my ma's house.
He was terrified.
Why?
I don't know. I was shitting myself. I was like, what are you afraid of? He's like, I'm just afraid. I'm just scared. I was like,
I wasn't like, I'm afraid, I'm scared. It was more just like, I don't want to, like.
Yeah, but like, sometimes you have to break that comfort to kind of blossom into the person that you are.
Yeah.
Because like, look at, from when you lived in your ma's to the way you are now, like, you mature.
It's a different person.
Yeah.
You nearly hit yourself like into your new person. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like a different person. Like,
you found yourself.
The last like 5-6 years. Like.
Yeah, but isn't it great?
But even like, you can see some couples, right? And you.
Who?
No, not anyone that...
No, name them.
Do you know, from if I knew somebody...
And then you can tell us the politicians.
Then what's going to be like divorce? I'm like, oopsie.
No, go on. No, throw them under the bus there. Go on.
Do you ever see couples and they're like tiff-a-tat?
Yeah.
Like, a lot when you're younger or in school or something like that, you'd have friends and...
They'd be killing each other.
Jesus.
No, like...
Yeah. Or like, I'm drinking this much, so I'm going to drink more.
Yeah, or he's going away that weekend, so I'm going away for 2 weekends.
That drives me mad.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you together?
Yeah.
Why are you wasting your time? You know,
that you hear of Brené Brown, she has a whole kind of theory, okay, that you don't bring 50-50 to a relationship, you actually bring 100-100.
Yeah.
And then some days you have 80% to give, but like, you know, so you, Amy, today now could be like, okay, I'm under pressure, I've a meeting after this, or I have to, you know, life stuff, whatever going on. And Darren might say, well, actually, I'll cook the dinner tonight, I'll sort it out. Get home, the laundry's done, the dinner's done, and like the fire's lit. Great, fantastic. Yeah. And then, you know, you're not going to be able to do that every day because guess what? You know, you need to be able to appreciate it and vice versa. And so the flip might happen the following day, you know, might be 30-70 or whatever. But the thing is, everybody's showing up. And like, I remember when I was moving in with my partner, like having a conversation with him and just saying, look, I'm too busy. Like, I am too busy with what I do. He's too busy. He's a big, big job.
Yeah.
And so like, I remember saying to him, like, I actually would be bored to death if we end up having like fights the whole time about the bin. The dishwasher and the laundry. Like, I can't cope that. I don't have the mental capacity to be having arguments about that. So that's it. So we just came up with an idea. Right, let's just do it. You know, like, pay it forward. Like, actually show the love. So like, it's very rare I get to the dishwasher and it hasn't been done. Or unless I've turned it on, he's not, you know, and I do it. And then I just naturally gravitate to the laundry and cooking. He just naturally does the bins. And, you know, I'm the dishwasher. And like, it doesn't mean that that's our job.
I'd do all of it.
Yeah,
I'd have to do everything, like.
I don't mind him.
He's a saint, isn't he?
I'm telling
you. You're the luckiest woman in Ireland, Amy.
Honest to God.
I cook all the dinners.
Do you? What do you cook now? What'd be a good... Like, Valentine's now is coming up there, Darren.
What are you going to cook?
What's for dinner?
Well, every second day we're just eating salmon, so probably salmon.
Yeah, love. Good for you.
Yeah, we're still on a good diet now, aren't we?
Trying to.
Since January.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
You're keeping it
Sometimes
going.
Sometimes you have to, like. Brilliant. Oh, man. Feel better for you, though.
You do, but like, if you actually think, right, the biggest and most important decision that you're ever going to make in your life is the person you decide to be with. It's going to decide, like, your whole life, basically, how many kids you have, where you live, how many holidays you're going to go to, your mental health, your happiness. Mm. But actually, you have 20,000 meals in your lifetime with that person. So if 10,000 of them are salmon, you might want to change it up a bit.
Yeah, I'm going to be bored of salmon.
But no, like what I'm saying is,
bit
you know,
of salmon darn.
Like that's a lot of dinners. But like if you think of what a relationship is, it's just each other telling each other stories.
Yeah, it is.
Showing each other love.
Did you have your dinner today? Lovely.
Pardon?
Did you have your dinner today?
No, he's actually making it today.
So you haven't?
Yeah, I made it last night. I made a curry last night just from scratch with yogurt, ginger, everything like that.
Oh, lovely.
And I don't know, but I did see the joint account pop up there. There was €36 spent in Tesco's joint account there a few minutes ago. So I'm hoping
it's today. €46 or over 50, isn't it?
That's it. It is, yeah. Or like, what is it lately? You know, anything to do with the house, if you make a phone call at all, it's like €1,000.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
It's
I know.
Like, oh, we need something. Yeah,
the electricity as well.
This month.
There's as pay as you go.
Is it?
Like, every half an hour just keeps like, this alarm goes off to top it up. Like.
It's, yeah. No, ours like, is 800 this
800?
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
Now, first, we don't have fire.
How many tellies
have
you
got? We've air to water and all that crap.
You got loads of tellies.
No, two telly. Or no, wait, maybe.
It is one, mental money though, isn't it? Jesus.
It is, but that's real life stuff. And look, do you know what? That's what dating is, and that's what love is being able to deal with that. Like, as well, when you're picking in your person, they need to be able to, like, get over a bump in the road. And that's why they say when you start dating someone, you shouldn't make any big decisions for the first year.
Yeah.
Because you need to see them in all seasons. You need to see what they're like during the summer, them going on holidays. Yeah. Do they clap when the plane lands, you know?
What
are they like at Christmas? Are they down the boozer for the whole 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Or are they like, you know, watch an elf on the couch with you? You need to see them in all the different seasons. And that's why it's important. You try not to make any big decisions or like move in with them or anything like that within a year to get to know them. But like it is as well the resilience side of things. Like the amount of people that come to me and they say, oh, I broke up with her because her granny died and she was upset. Now that's not really, you didn't break up with her because her granny died and she was upset.
Mm.
You broke up with her because you weren't able to deal with the emotional side of it, or you were kind of sitting on the fence already and that
walked
was,
away
that was, yeah,
a hard,
that's
hard
it,
time.
And you just pulled the rope. Yeah, absolutely. So it's no harm to go through those things and high electricity bill and all sorts
of things.
Yeah,
the whole lot. But like, it's like little things like that show love, doesn't it? Like, you know, emptying the bin or...
Oh, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. Because you're like, oh, thank God.
That's it. But like...
It is a bit of love. Like, do you know what I mean?
Well, it's one of the love languages, actually, is acts of service. So one of them is...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One of them is like, you know, if you're going off to a meeting early in the morning or something and like when you come down... And they're after defrosting your car, or they're after making you tea in a takeaway cup, or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, where you're Stanley, and like things like that. Mm. They are like little bids, is what they're called, or glimmers, glimmers of happiness, or glimmers of love.
Yeah.
And like it's really important as well, the bids that when you're chatting away to your partner, if you're like, oh, look at that bird, and so you're like, Jesus, if he shows me one more bird, like I understand that, but like there is a little bit of a, you know, a. I like your stuff, you like my stuff.
Yeah.
It's really important that you acknowledge all those bits. So it's just, there's lots of little things along the way that just can help with your relationship. Like once you start not listening or ignoring the partner you're with.
Well, sometimes you do zone out. Like.
Well, zoning out is fine, but when you actually start being a little bit nasty.
Oh, no.
You're like, you know what? To hell with her, I'm not emptying the bin.
Yeah,
like if it's something personal, like they're trying to tell you something, like obviously you listen, but like sometimes you would like kind of.
Island or something.
You know. Yeah, do you know, like
I understand
some of the things.
Or sometimes, like Amy would just be on her phone and I'd be calling her, and it's like I'm calling the wall. Like.
Oh my God!
It's like that.
That's a horrible thing to say.
Yeah, but like I suppose we do need chill out time and everything. We can't be switched on the whole time. But like where
definitely.
We can, one of the biggest indicators that a couple are going to break up is contempt. So when you start rolling your eyes up at each other, like, just as soon as you.
Do you roll your eyes at me?
Seeing.
No. When?
Do you ever?
That's because you still love each other.
Yeah.
The first time one of you does an eye roll now, you're just like, do you remember that matchmaker we had on? This is the start of the end now. We need to pull it back now.
I never thought an eye roll would be that.
It is.
Sinister.
Yeah, it is. But like, it's the start of it. And you know, when you're just like,
yeah, like
that's the start of the.
You get off me.
Nearly,
get off me.
Downward. Yeah, that's it. Or just like, oh, shut up. You know,
like, go away. You. Yeah. Get off me.
That's why you asked me this, all right? And that gave you the ick. Remember? You asked me and I was like, yeah.
What was it?
I was only messing with you, no, you've never given me the ick.
I thought I did.
No, never.
No harm to keep him in his tones anyway. Yeah, there is one there.
Yeah, yeah. And you were like, oh my God, really? I goes, did you get it off me? And he was like, no. No, actually, I never have. But have you?
No.
Honestly?
No.
Do you believe in soulmates?
I absolutely believe in soulmates.
Yes,
I didn't until I met my partner. But like, honestly, you know, like I've... dated and thought that they were my soulmate. Yeah. And obviously things didn't work out for various different reasons. But as soon as I met my fiance, I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like, the amount of similarities we had, like, we'd both been to Australia the same year. I actually had been travelling like with a load of the people that he went to school with and everything, and from his estate and everything. Now, he's from Leixlip, I'm from Mullingar. So, like, there was no crossover, just so random. And I was like, do you know this person yet? Do you know this person yet?
That's mad.
Like, it's so funny because actually one of the lads, a guy called Joe, rang me before Christmas. He's like, well, Mairead, I haven't seen you in 10 years. I was listening to another podcast I'd done through the Irish Independent. And he was like, how are you getting on? Oh, my God, it's crazy. And I said, actually, I said, I'm great. I said, I'm engaged and everything. He goes, oh, brilliant. I said, you actually know him? I said, because you went to school with him. He was like, sorry, what? So anyway, we're going to
it's not Sasso, is it?
It's what?
Sasso. It's a Sasso Yahweh.
That's it, you know. He actually said Jezzer, and I was like, no, that's not who it is.
Not the way everyone has it.
And he's like, that's what I used to call him in school, you know.
Oh, but
he used to be called Sasso because, like, he loves sausages. He brought sausages in school one day.
Yeah, actually, you know what? It's probably better off you don't hear some of the school stories. None of us, nobody needs to hear our school stories. But like that then, so many similarities in the food we like, or the TV shows we like, or just so many things. We actually worked in the same company at one stage.
Jesus.
Like, all these little crossovers. His daughter... That's where they lived, you know, before he separated. His daughter lived in an estate in the town that they're in. And her best friend was this little one called Ava. And I was like, oh, yeah, and we're chatting away. And I said, Ava's mother, by any chance, her name isn't Sharon, is it? And he was like, no, it's Sandra. And I was like, all right, Grant. And I was like, this sounds really familiar. And I said, is this her? And I showed him a photograph. He goes, yeah, that's her. And I said, yeah, well, her name is Sharon. But she had been... Like, she's one of my best friends from school.
Oh,
and his daughter is best friends with her daughter. It's just all these little similarities.
That is, there's so many opportunities that you could have met.
I definitely believe in soulmates.
Yeah,
like, there was just too many kind of crossovers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's like, I feel like there's someone out there for everybody.
Oh, there
absolutely
is. I feel
like there is. Yeah. Like,
there's not just one person, though, Amy. There's hundreds of people out there for everybody. And sometimes people are like, oh, will you find the one? There isn't one. Will you find one of the hundreds, one of the thousands?
Yeah.
The thing is to keep your eyes open. A lot of people are over prescriptive when they come to someone like myself. Or they're like, you know, a lot of people say to me, well, I won't do online dating. He needs to be over 6 foot. He needs to have full head of hair. He needs to be earning over 100 grand. And you're just kind of thinking to yourself, okay, Grant, so wait a second. How tall are you? Second of all, are you earning over 100 grand?
Yeah.
You know, like, all of this. And to pair it back. So, like, people are kind of closing down the pool of, like, what is more important? Someone that's kind, someone that's happy, someone that, like, has good morals and good values and things like that. That's the most important.
Just someone that's sound.
Sound.
Yeah,
and a bit of crap.
Really get on
down there,
like, do you know
sound,
what? Like, if someone's going to be an absolute drip, like, let's face it. Like, imagine waking up, that we all know somebody, when I said that there now, you know if someone's going to be a drip, and you kind of think to yourself, imagine having to eat 20,000 meals with them, waking up beside them, 12,000
waiting
mornings
on them to empty the bin.
That's it, waiting on them. And George, just even like, what are we going to do for the weekend? They're like, nothing, we'll sit in our ass
doing
nothing.
It's like,
sorry, no thank you.
Yeah
we'll just get dragged to shopping centres every weekend. But I like shopping.
Does he, Amy?
No. Oh yeah, no, he loves shopping. I hate shopping.
Do you?
I don't like going with him, no.
Do you not?
Does me head in.
He
goes
to try
in.
Everything on.
Yeah
he tries it on, but he's in there for like 40 minutes trying on a hoodie. You could have just done that.
As I'm wearing layers, it's hard to get it all off. And then my hair gets wrecked and I have to
fix the hair.
Oh, don't believe it.
That looks like a little emblem.
I think we just wrap it up. Yeah. We wrap it up there. I'm at the spilling coffee all over myself. Is there anything else you want to plug?
No, I think we've everything there. Everything.
Yeah. Where can they go to?
What's
the website again?
So the website is lovehq.ie. I'm also on TikTok and Instagram. I also have my own podcast called Would Like to Meet, and I won Best Sex and Relationship Podcast a few years ago for that. And I have a second podcast called Tough Love.
Irish Podcast Awards?
The Irish Podcast Awards. Are you nominated there?
I never won that.
Actually, that's the first time I saw you, is because you knocked me off number one, the podcast. And I was like, who the hell are the Conways?
Did
we?
Oh, really?
You just launched. You just launched and you knocked me off the number one spot. And I was like, had a bit of a monopoly going there. I was like, number one, and I was like,
miles down.
We were there once, on once only, and I think we only have around 5 to 10 listeners now.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Yeah.
They're very loyal listeners. They send in listener questions and all, but we're dead happy with them.
Yeah, good. Well,
they're a nice little bunch, you know.
That's it. Fantastic. That's what you want.
Yeah, there's questions there.
Well, I read the first one.
Yeah, go on.
It's for you, Mairead.
Yeah.
They're all for you.
Fabulous.
We put up a question box.
Yep.
They're all for you. You ready? I'm wanting to get back to the dating scene, but I've experienced too much ghosting in the past. Any advice on why people ghost and how to build back the confidence from it?
Well, first of all, they're ghosting because they're assholes. Let's just call a spade a spade here. Yeah, it's a horrible thing to do to anybody. Mm. Unfortunately, that is part and parcel of online dating. Okay, that's why now a lot of people come to me for matchmaking. We've never had anybody ghosted. We've never had anybody not turning up. So you know this situation of, oh, I couldn't text you back because my phone exploded and then my granny fell off the roof and everything. You know these ridiculous
granny had the phone in her pocket. Yeah. Once you fell off the roof.
That's it. In case you're wondering, this stuff doesn't happen in real life. Yeah. So, because that never happens to anybody that's come to me and has paid for us to match them.
Can persistence be a turn off if someone's like, how are you? And then they don't reply. They're like, sorry, did you get my message? And straight away, that's a bit like...
That is a bit,
is it?
There's a certain amount of holding back. Yeah. Like, you need to play cool a little bit. I'm not into playing games, but I would say,
if it was me, I would just open up and say, what's up and all? To 100 people. What's up and all, X? To 100 people and just see who bites.
Yeah, well, you could do that.
You said you could.
Dating is a numbers game, so I think you might be going the right direction, but you'd have to figure out who you're going to be doing. Like, you don't want to be just.
As you said, there's hundreds or thousands of people that would be for you, so.
Yeah.
Why not narrow it down to the 100 people?
Everybody in Finglas.
So, will we go to the next one?
No, well, you didn't ask how you build your confidence from it.
How do you build your confidence from it?
You just need to remember that online dating, you're kind of faceless and you are somewhat disposable. So you need to mind your energy before you go into it. You have to be resilient. So you can't take these things personally because they're not actually a human almost until you've met them in person. So until you've met them in person, you need to be resilient. You need to be open-minded. Don't give them too much information. Don't tell them where you live, where you work, that sort of thing. Yeah. Now, don't be evasive at the same time, but... general chit chat and everything. But if they ghost you, they ghost you. As far as I'm concerned, they're not your person. Buy next person.
Exactly.
They didn't like your profile photo or something.
But it's not. Some people have that. Some people are just not able to. They nearly do online dating as a full time job. Some of them never have any intention of meeting up in person.
Yeah, they just like texting.
They're just wasting their time and everybody else's. Yeah.
Yeah. That is horrible.
I have another question. I'm allergic to dating apps. How can I meet people offline? Well, just go to your website.
Hello, love it.
We just had been talking about it.
That's it. Yeah, well, meeting people online, it is hard and everything. A lot of people are allergic to it. A lot of people don't like the confidentiality. Look, that's the whole reason I set up Love HQ, is to eliminate all of that. Come to me, we'll have a consultation. If I have suitable people for you, I'll invite you to join, and off we go. If I don't have someone for you, we'll keep on looking, and we'll give you a shout when we do.
Well done.
That's it.
That's great. How can you spot time wasters in person or on dating apps?
Well, I think that's a life skill, first of all. There's people that are talking shite out there, and you have to...
I love it.
You have to be aware of that. If you're going to be gullible in real life, you're going to be gullible in dating life and everything. You need to keep your eyes and ears open. If they're talking absolutely through their beep...
Yeah. If they're texting, what's up with you and all? X dot dot dot. Yeah. I used to play for Man United.
You need to just keep your eyes and ears open. If they're talking absolute nonsense, you call them out on it. I probably would give them a chance. Say, come here now. Far-fetched. You want to send me a link to you starting there on whatever date.
Who scored in the Champions League final and away?
That's it. That's the worst thing. But, you just have to have a bit of cop on. Yeah. And as well, you don't deal with lazy communication like that if they're just half answering messages and everything. You have to have your boundaries. You have to have your standards.
Yeah.
You have to know when you're going to cut it off. If somebody's talking absolute nonsense or if they keep on trying to push it to sex, lot of guys do that online. Yeah, they're that's it. I would probably give them one heads up. Look, I've never even met you, so I'm not going to start that type of conversation with you. And to be honest, I'm looking for possibly a relationship or whatever. I'm not looking for sexy stuff. If they keep on pushing it, good luck. Realistically, most people are either looking for casual or long term. Yeah. So if you just ask them, or if you just get an indication as to whether they're looking for casual or long term,
you kind of
have it sewn up there.
Yeah.
There you go.
So Love HQ.
Love HQ. That's it. Yeah. That's us.
Halloween HQ, but Love HQ. Yeah.
So it's all about the love.
Well, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you guys for having me. And happy Valentine's Day. Hope you have a lovely day.
And I hope you enjoy as well.
subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.